Oh, what a great privilege it is again to gather together, to assemble unto you, Lord God. We take nothing for granted. And so as we come again tonight, Heavenly Father, we come beseeching for mercy. We welcome you in this place, Triune Majesty, our Father in Heaven, Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit. Come and fill this place with your manifest presence. And so Heavenly Father, as we come, Lord, to share your word again tonight, I particular, but all of us here in general, are acutely aware of the limitations of our human minds, both to share this word, the compressed wisdom of God in this Bible, as well as to receive it as we ought. So we come to ask for help. I in particular strip myself of every confidence I might have in my knowledge and ability to learn what I've prepared. All of that doesn't matter now. All that matters, Lord, is your mercy upon me to be faithful. Now, Lord, I strip myself of every confidence in this regard. And I ask you to make my tongue like a pen of a ready writer. Now, Lord, you let there be a free course of your word from you through me to the people without any hindrance. The word will go forth in accuracy and power, in great clarity, yet in the simplicity and in the love and the comfort of your spirit, to cause an eternal work to be wrought in the hearts and in the lives of all who hear this word, whether here at this time or remotely by electronic means. Wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power, the power of your spirit will back it, causing men to be hearers as well as doers of the word, and so be blessed in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I ask also that I speak, you'll help me, Lord God, to be precise and to be concise. I will not say anything unnecessary. And as I speak, O Lord God, you help me to bring forth things both old and new out of your word as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, that this world be spirit and life. And Lord God, will break every yoke, meet every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions to be tempered and controlled even further by the precious fruit, the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially love, in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak, your power and presence will fill the atmosphere, transforming us, causing us to be more conformed even to the image of our Lord Jesus. In particular, I come to ask for mercy. I humble myself and I duck under the anointing of my fathers. I put upon me their mantles by your Spirit. I ask you to help me to bring forth this word, to bring it forth as they would were they here personally, so this word will go forth as a river refreshing, bringing life and refreshing to all that hear it, but especially to them, as they eat and drink of this vine which they have planted in me, though they will be abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because you will not lie to David. Now that we alter the word that has gone forth out of your mouth, faithful art thou to do more than we can ask or can think. We ask and receive in the wonderful, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I trust you all will follow with me. Amen. Amen. Well, we bring a word tonight, which is a word of exhortation. The Bible says you should not neglect the assembling of ourselves together, much the more so as we see the day approaching. And like I said a short while ago, I can't remember when short, I said the day is not just approaching, it's actually here. So coming together under the power of the unction of the Spirit to share the word and share fellowship with ourselves and the Holy Spirit is even more critical, even as I can say now. Amen. And this word came from the Bible study on Sunday. In fact, I shared it briefly with Pastor Wiley as we were sitting here together. And it came out of the word the pastor brought on Sunday. And as he was preaching the word, God began to speak to me and enlighten me. And I believe he would have me share what I believe I received from the Lord concerning these things. The pastor was preaching on from the book of James, which is where we are, and he was talking about asking God for wisdom, and he said something that just resonated in my heart. He said, none of us as Christians should have in our vocabulary the words "I cannot." And so if I said, expunge it from your vocabulary henceforth, amen. And he went on to say that he said, actually it's a negative stronghold, and it's true. It's actually a very negative stronghold that we as Christians carry over from our natural life, even when we get born again. Amen? These are things that we've been, we're so accustomed to failure. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But the natural man is accustomed to failure simply because he has tried and tried the things he has tried. And I'm sure all of us have that experience at one level or the other, where certain things we try to do, but somehow it just doesn't work out. And after a while, instead of trying and keep on trying, I love what my mom said on Saturday. He says he just keeps on persisting until he gets there. Just keeps on doing it over and over again. But you know how it is sometimes? When you get to do something, you've done it once, you've done it twice, you've done it three times. By the time you do it four times, you start getting a little weary. And after a while, nothing happens, or it doesn't happen as you ought to, as you feel it ought to, you say, but this is one of the things I cannot do. You say, I can't do it. And he said, when we fall short, most of us say, well, I'm not perfect, or nobody's perfect. Amen? Say amen somewhere. Don't worry, God is going to deliver you tonight. Amen. All of us have been there. All of us have been there at one level, and maybe some of us are even still there in some areas of our lives. But the word I bring today is a word of exhortation that you need to remove that particular phrase from your vocabulary forever. Amen. The other variant of the word that I can't means that, well, I'm only human. Have you heard that before?
Yes, sir.
I'm only a human being. Eh? Nobody's perfect. But this should not be so for us as Christians. Like Pastor was saying, these words should not be in our vocabulary. And I, you know, as Pastor was talking, I just began to say, why? It's true, actually. I began to see, and there's some dimensions of the Lord open up to me, which I believe the Lord will have us share today. So for Christians, these statements should not once, like the Bible says, be mentioned among us. So what do we do about it? What is the antidote for all this? Well, it's a stronghold. You have to pull it down. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 4 or 5 says, the weapons of our warfare. So there's warfare involved in pulling down the stronghold. And that's the problem in many cases. Many Christians do not fight that war. They don't fight with, I'm getting ahead of myself, they don't fight that fight of faith that will pull down the strongholds of I cannot, I am only human. Amen. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, give me that scripture, are not carnal but mighty through God to the what? To the what? Pulling down of strongholds. Next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. This I can't is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. That knowledge is not just knowing God. Is a revelation knowledge, the epignosis, like Pastor was teaching the other day, the precise, perfect, exact, complete knowledge of God. Any thought that exalts itself, any high thing that comes against that knowledge of God, that God says you are, you say you cannot be that because you have failed, so you have to pull it down. And you bring into captivity, the Bible says, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then the stronghold will disappear. And then you won't be able to say, I can't anymore. Say, I cannot yet, but I will in future. Or, hello, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? This is it. I could go home now, but there's more to say. The truth of the matter is, that statement, I cannot, is the exact opposite of what God expects from every one of his people. Amen? I cannot, or I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Hello? But what does God say? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, 48. Thank you. We'll get to this in a minute. Set what? Let's read it together. Let's read it, because when you read things like this, it sinks in. I know you've read it before. You see, everything we're saying today, and if you've noticed that most of what, you know, where the Lord is bringing by His Spirit these days are, it's like a refresher course. God is just refreshing all the things we've heard over and over again. He's not going to stop saying it because you know it. In fact, He's going to keep on saying it until we get it. The reason why He keeps saying it is because either we've let it slip, amen, or some of us have forgotten it. We've read this before. I believe so anyway. If you read this before, please lift your hand up. Okay, all right. But look what it says. Be ye. Now, who's speaking here? If you look in my Bible, it's written in red. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. Look what it says. It says, be ye therefore what? Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the divine standard is the standard obtained. It's not a human standard. God is not expecting you to be perfect on your own steam. He's not expecting you to be perfect by yourself. He said, even as your Father. So you have to go to the Father to find out how to be perfect. That's a double-edged word I just gave you there. You have to go to the Father and the Fathers to learn how to be perfect. And that's another story, another day. But the essence is this. This is the word of God to us. Amen? Give me Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Where put this scripture behind the fact that you are expected to be perfect. So I can't or cannot do is not a part of your vocabulary. Amen? As Christians, or maybe as a natural human being, but not as a Christian. It says, therefore, leaving the principles, and I put the elementary principles, because that's what he's really saying. The principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to not laying again the foundation of repentance and all that stuff. But the essence is this. God, this is what, I remember many years ago, this was a verse that caused a great controversy in scripture. Pastor, when Pastor preached it, he said, nobody can be perfect in this life. But God says, let us go on to perfection. Is God lying? Can the scripture be broken? Was a big issue those days. But here we are in 2015, and the word is about to be fulfilled. We'll bring it back. So therefore, leaving the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Even Apostle Paul that said that thing, said in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, this we pray, or this we wish, he said, but wish is pray, because when he says the same thing in 1 Peter, it says, I wish above all things, the Bible translates as I pray above all things. So he said, this we pray, your perfection. Give me 1 Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians 13, yeah. 2 Corinthians 13, 9. Give me the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 13. And we're putting scripture behind the fact that you may not be perfect yet, but you're going to be perfect. Amen. It says, for we are glad when we are weak, unapproved, and you are really strong. This we also pray for your, all-round strengthening and perfecting of soul. This is scripture, folks. These are the words of Apostle Paul. Who told you? This is the Bible. Take that to that. This is Bible. This is scripture. This is God telling us what he expects us to be. Amen? So each time we say as Christians or we think, the Bible says a man thinking in his heart, so is he. I'm not perfect. Or I can't do it. What you're actually doing is you're railing against these words that we've just spoken. And there are others in the Bible like that. What you're actually saying is that God, you're a liar. You said, I can do all things, but I can't. You say, I'm supposed to be perfect, but I cannot be perfect. I'm not perfect. I am only human. That's the other one. The other one is, I'm only human. Amen? How many of you have heard that said before? How many have even said it before? Okay, don't put up your hand. Sorry. I'm only human. Which is, see, everything's a cop-out. God says, you are God's. And all of you are children of the Most High. Now, I understand there's an element of humanity there. Amen. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. The Bible says he took upon himself what? The form of a servant and became as a man. The essence is he came to show us what a God-man should be like. He was a God. He was God. He was God. He is God. He came down and put on the toga of manhood. We have the toga of manhood already. And we now exchange that. That we now add to that toga of manhood, the God nature. So the essence is you are God, but you're also man. So you're not just human. You are expected, I am expected, to be a God upon the earth. In human form. Amen. Only Pastor Wally is saying amen. So this is Pastor Wally, this is the problem. When we say these words, when you read these words, you know, people don't believe. Help them unbelief. Thank you, Pastor Wally. You know, it's like you're talking and it's like, Pastor Wigg, okay. You know what most people are saying? When I see it, I'll believe. Hello? I just read somebody's mail here. Wait and see. Wait and get. But that's the truth. That's why the church is the way it is now. Because most people, when we say these things, when you hear them, it sounds like fables. Because you've never seen it happen. But does that take away from the truth of God's word? Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Even in this house, there are people that say, well, okay, maybe pastor and mommy. They can do it. But for me, anytime you say you're not perfect, or you say you can't, it's a direct denial of the scriptures. And you know what the Bible calls that? It's called wickedness. We talked about that last week. Wickedness. Because you know why it is so? Because you see, when you, God forbid, you will not be saying it. You're not even think it in Jesus' name. Because each time you think it, you're building that stronghold. You're adding another block to that stronghold. Oh, well, I'm not yet perfect. I can't do it. You just added a building block to that stronghold. Okay? And it's because failure has come over and over again. But one day, if you keep at it, you will stop failing. And that's why I'm here to let you know. Amen? Jesus took upon himself the form of servants. So we humans, we're still human, yes, are now to take on the likeness of God through perfection and the fullness of the Spirit without measure. There's a song that comes to my mind immediately. There's also one we used to sing. I think it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. There's a part that says, Adam's likeness now effaced, then stamp your image in his place. That's what God wants to do. That's what God is trying to do in our hearts today. Amen? So we need to pull down these strongholds. Now, let's go back to that last scripture Pastor quoted. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Oh, I love this scripture. It says, I can do some things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, if you back up from this verse to about verse 10, go to verse 10, let's see. Apostle Paul was talking about something particular. He's talking about, you know, his lack of being able to stand, whether he abounds or he abates. He said, I greatly rejoice now that the last your care of me has flourished again. Where you are also careful, but you lack opportunity. Next verse. We're talking about abounding. This is it. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to become. This is a great thing. We all need to learn this. Whatever the situation is, no matter whether it abounds or it abases, you're cool. Nothing shakes you. Nothing moves you from the path of God. You see, this is a great, and it's not normal. It's not a normal human activity. It's not a normal human thing. Humanity will fret and will want and be, hey, God, hey, what is going to happen to me? Oh, I don't have this, this, that, that. For you to be in this state, you must know God. And you must know that this God does not allow anything to come against you that you are not able to overcome. He says, but with the temptation, he says, he will make a way of escape. In this situation, Paul will be asking for the way of escape. What do I do? And he was there, camping, and then God sent these guys from Philippi to come and minister to his needs. He wasn't looking for it. He says, I don't speak in the sense you want. So all I want is fruit that may abound to your account. He was okay. He was full of prayer, full of the word, and nothing will shake him. You need to get to this place. Hello, somebody. There are trials and tribulations ahead that you need to find your place into this state. It says, wherever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Whether the fig tree blossoms or there's fruit in the store, all that doesn't shake you. So he says, but I can do all things. Now he's talking about this in particular, if you read this, right? And he's talking about being able to abound, whether in plenty or learn to be abased when he was in need, whether he was full or empty, to be the same, constant, consistent, nothing shaking him. Amen? And we need to learn how to do this also. But what I now saw in the manifold wisdom of God, go back to Philippians 4:13, next verse. Yeah. What I now saw in the manifold wisdom of God, that this state applies not just only to when you are bound, and when you're learning to abound, or when you're learning to abase. But this word, I can do all things, has some hidden meaning for us, particularly in this season. Amen? That's why I've titled this message, Doing All Things. Folks, the truth of the matter is there must arise now, in this season, in this day, a company of people. Amen? And the first place is going to come forth by the grace of God is here, where we are, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. A company of people that can do and will do all things. For whom the word, like the Lord Jesus Christ says, that like Apostle Paul says, I can do all things. And then Jesus Christ also said that you can do all things because Christ strengthens you. We need to recognize that now is the time that this company of people have to come forward. Because God wants a people who will do all things and who will not stint, who will not say I'm not perfect, who will press on. Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong. And they do exploits. All exploits, there is everything that is necessary to bring forth the goodness, the glory of God in the earth. Let's examine the statement. Let's first go to examine, I can do all things. The Lord gave it to me on Sunday. He says, if God says, I can do all things. Note again, it's not Paul speaking to us. It's God speaking through Paul to us. And he left it as a testimony for generations to come. If we say we can do all things, that means that there's nothing that is left out. Hello, somebody. But what we see so far, we see that we can do some things. There's some things we can do now. But there's a whole lot more that we cannot yet do. Isn't that so? So what does that mean? That means that this word is yet to be fulfilled in us. But it's going to be fulfilled in this day. Amen? Now, I can do all things means that nothing is left out. God is not like man. He doesn't use words like we do. He doesn't say something. He doesn't. What he says is what he means, and what he means is what he says. So this means that there has to be a people, hallelujah, that will fulfill this word, and they will be able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens them, nothing being left out in the will of God. Now, I'm not going to do anything. He didn't say, I can do anything. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which means that the things that they're going to do are the things that they will do by the anointing upon Jesus. He didn't catch that. He didn't get that. Someone said, this is Apostle Paul talking. Who inspired Apostle Paul? The Bible says all scripture is by inspiration of God. In other words, God inspired Apostle Paul to write these eternal words. So he's not just saying for himself, but he's saying that this is a statement that we all should be constantly making in our hearts and constantly applying in everything that we do. We can do all things. I say to your neighbor, I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me? It doesn't matter what that thing is. As long as God wants me to do it, I can and I will do it. I expunge I cannot from my vocabulary. Amen. Amen. And not for Paul alone. Oh, glory to God. Everything in that Bible is inspired by God. It's written for us. The point is that what Apostle Paul said is God speaking to us through the letter of the scriptures. So, in God, we are able to do all things. What are the all things? From the ordinary day, I call them the mundane daily things. Waking up at 4 a.m. Amen. I got some people there. Waking up at 4 a.m. to pray. You can do all things through Christ's strength. Bible reading and study. You can do all things through Christ's strength. Yeah. Amen. Giving your tithes and offerings. You can do. I say you can. Giving your tithes and offerings. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you in Jesus' name. Those are daily normal. Yeah, you can. Most of us can do all that. Oh, I hope so. Sometimes I'm not sure about that 4 a.m. Okay, I understand. You know. But Christ will strengthen you to do it in Jesus' name. Because he said you can do it. There's nothing that can't. Don't even think that. Don't even think, I can't do that. I can't do it. You know, and it's amazing. Form, what you do is going to follow what you think. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why our thought process are so critical to success. When you say, I can't. Sometimes I'm amazed, and I must tell you the truth. I'm amazed sometimes when I work with Pastor. You know, I used to drive him around. Pastor would sleep at 2 a.m. and wake up at 4. We are just in together. I don't know what I'm talking about. All these guys know. We're just in at 2 a.m. Pastor, okay, we'll go to bed now. He's the one that is going to wake you up at 4 o'clock. Are you awake? Yes, sir. Hello, Bob. Are you praying? Yes, sir. What am I saying? The man doesn't think he's not going to get up. He has gone beyond saying that it's not possible because he's tired. The man gets up. His eyes will go, bing. I'm still waiting for that too. We will get there in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ. So I know some of you are thinking about that 4 a.m. Don't worry, you will do it in Jesus' name. The Bible says that when his power comes, his people shall be. Amen. So if you can't do it now, when the power comes, you'll be willing. And the excess power will push you through in Jesus' name. But it's better to be doing it before the power comes, you know. Amen. So there are the daily mundane things. These are the ordinary. Then there are the difficult things. Things that are really, really difficult. For example, enduring tribulation. That's why you need to ask for mercy. Ask for wisdom. Amen. So count it all joy. Now, can you count it all joy in tribulation? Yes. If you have an understanding of what tribulation is supposed to do. That's why it says everything that exalts itself against the knowledge, the epignosis of what God's will is. You see, your tribulation is not supposed to overcome you. It's to train you up to a high level so you can do even more than you're doing at that time. So when it comes, you take it as a joy. God is about to promote me. Amen. Now, it will not feel like that, believe me. That's why I say, It will not feel like God is promoting you. Ask Job. Poor Job. Poor Job didn't know that God had been boasting upon over him. All he saw was everything just scattered. Say, God, why did I do this? Why did you allow blah, blah, blah. You know? So, but Job did not see with his mouth. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? You know, he was trying to justify and give God, he tried to justify himself, but also giving God, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Amen. But what I'm saying is that, you know, when it came, it wasn't joyful to him. He was overwhelmed. And sometimes when tribulation comes, that's what it does. But in these difficult times, you don't say, I can't. I will not overcome it. 21 day fast. Hey, it's okay. Let me. Hello, somebody. 21 day fast twice. But we did it, did we not? Did we not? Unless you didn't do it so well, so those who did it will know that. But once it was a difficult thing initially. But gradually, as you see, that's what happens. Sometimes when something is coming that seems difficult, the devil just paints a big, huge. I remember when we said we're going to be doing 21 day fast. I say, yay. And then I talk more quiet. Even a 3 day. But you see, that memory is gone forever. 3 day fast was a big deal. Thank God for his mercies. I'm not doing it in my own flesh. And you should do that too. But I'm saying now, when you think that you've gone 21 days twice, 3 days is a picnic in God. But it wasn't always like that. So God has stepped you up. See, that's what happens when, you know, you do the things that God has, and God promotes you through tribulation. It's difficult, but when you overcome it, you see, see the ground I've left behind, and I'm now on this level. And you look forward to the next challenge. Amen. But you see, you can only do that in God and as Christ strengthens you. Amen. Amen. Crucifying the flesh consistently. Hey! I said the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary ones, but you have to tame it by the spirit. You will do it in Jesus' name. This is where we are now. We're doing the ordinary things and trying to perfect God's love, do the difficult things, perfect enduring tribulation, you know, trial and testing, doing 21 day fast, all these other things. But there's still another level of what we need to do to be able to do all things. And that is the impossible. 3 levels. 3 is God's level for perfection. So God is taking us as a body and as individuals from the ordinary, doing all things ordinary, to doing all things difficult, to doing all things that hitherto have been thought impossible. The entire gamut. And this is the marvelous thing about where we are, as far as I'm concerned, in this particular time, at this time in history, in the history of the church. Now, the entire gamut of possibility of what we can do is open to us as Christians. Amen? Tell you, there's nothing. There's nothing you cannot do. So never again in your life say, whether in your heart or with your mouth, I cannot do it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So that's doing all things. Now, also saw something here that really got me excited. This is what really prompted this message in my heart. When Pastor was speaking on Sunday, I saw that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the immediately that thing happened, it just flashed into my mind. He said through Christ. He didn't say through Jesus. Which, I say that, says Christ, which night, read the other translations, he uses him, whatever. But in the KJV, it says, through Christ, which. Why did it say through Jesus Christ, who? Hello? So, even though we know that he's talking about the Lord Jesus, but we must also understand that he's not talking about the Lord Jesus as a person. But he's talking about the anointing that is upon the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. And it's not me. It came from, and this is where it's marvelous. Fathers teach things and years and years and years it just sits there. And then boom, it just comes up. Amen. This is what Papa Rav taught us way back. From 94, 95, right about there. He said, Jesus is the person. Christ is the anointing. So Jesus Christ, Jesus might not be able to do all things because of his humanity, but the Christ anointing can do anything. I mean, I don't know where the thought just came, boom. I said, wow. And he didn't say who, say which. Which is it's not a personal thing. It's not, which means it's an ambiguous kind of thing. And it's not a person per se, but it's a representative of the person. Ha! I said, Lord, you're saying something here. So what he says is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Holy Spirit allowed Paul to use Christ, not Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, you might say, Jesus. Hey, do you know that Lord Jesus Christ was not named Jesus Christ on the day he was born, the day he was named? What did the angel say? He says, you shall call him Jesus. He didn't say you shall call him Jesus Christ. And that was what he was called. Give me Luke. Let me see. Give me Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Quickly. I want to just put some scripture behind it. So, you don't even possibly just talking through his head. Look what it says. Behold, this is the word of the angel Gabriel to his Jesus' mother. It says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name. What? Jesus. That's the person that was born in Nazareth. Remember, Jesus was not God. He stripped himself of every divine attribute. And he took upon himself the form of a servant, the form of a man. Hello? So he wasn't God. So he was born like you and I are born. And he was given a name. And his name was Jesus. But now compare this with John chapter 1, verse 41. This is the first time. Now, help me, Lord. John 4. Now, if you back up on this, I don't want to go there because of time. I'm saying time. What happened here was that the apostles or the disciples of John had witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized by their leader, John Baptist. Now, John, the Lord Jesus Christ, went away and he now came back. And then when he now came back, John was with his disciples. There was Andrew, there was John, and there was, I can't remember the third one. There were three of them there. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So they now approach Jesus. And they now talk to him. And now say, where are you? What are you going to say? We want to know where you live. But look what he says. Okay, this is it. Now, look what he says. This is what John did. He says, this is what Andrew did, not John. Andrew. He says, he findeth first his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messias, or the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. But you see, this name Christ was only given him after he had been in the water, baptized, as is coming up. So the Holy Ghost came upon him and dwelt upon him like a dove. The Bible says, get this now, says he now went out in the fullness of the Spirit. In other words, the full measure of the anointing had come upon him when he went to the desert to be tempted of the devil. He then came back in the power. So at that point in time when they were saying, we found the Messiah, he had the fullness and he had the power. And that's the anointing that is the Christ anointing. And it's that Christ anointing that enables you and I to do all things. The whole gamut, from the mundane things of day, the daily Bible and all that stuff, to the difficult things of enduring tribulation, all these other things, and to the impossible things, things that hitherto men have said are impossible. We're going to do everything in this day by Christ which strengtheneth us. Bible talks about saviors on Mount Zion. So Jesus was not born with the full anointing. He grew into it. As a consequence of spiritual growth, the Bible says he was in Nazareth. There were some things he couldn't do at first. He had to go from a little child, just like you and I, folks. Just like you and I. Now, we've heard this before, but you know, sometimes we hear things we don't hear. It doesn't drop in, it doesn't settle. We assume, and many times, you know, when you're reading the word, sometimes you have to hold yourself in check. And you have to remind yourself that Jesus was not God on the earth. He was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, like you and me. So, what in the world made the difference? The anointing. The full measure of the anointing. He started too with an earnest. God didn't give Jesus any free rides. In fact, his own path was tighter than ours. There was no blood for him. He could not allow sin. You don't allow sin in Jesus' name. But Lord says he grew in wisdom. He grew in spiritual stature and in favor, grace. And so as he grew, he was able to accomplish more and more and more of the will of God until he became perfect in doing God's will all the time. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, says, and be made perfect. In other words, he didn't start that way. Now, we know he was perfect in the sense that he was sinless. But he had to mature in that sinlessness to qualify, just like you and I, folks, pastors have been preaching for years. He had to mature in that sinless perfection in order to qualify for the anointing that helps him, that made him do all things, including impossible. And it's going to be the same for us all. You and I are going to have to go the same path. It says, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. In other words, he didn't. Even though God said he was going to be so, right from the beginning, he had to qualify for it. Hello, somebody. God says you're going to do all things, but you have to qualify for it. I have to qualify for it. That's why we're preaching these things. Amen? Are we understanding? So, all the time was in Nazareth, you know, he was just living. He was a regular fellow. He didn't. No lightning moved around when he moved. Now, I know by the grace of God, because I know what God does when people follow him and walk with him. I've seen him, you know, here in church and our fathers. I know that he must have lived a supernaturally extraordinary life. There's no way you can walk with God and not. If the presence of God with you, and you're walking with God, you're pleading him all the time, God will move. But there's nothing spectacular. Nothing that gave an indication who he was. Just like you, folks. And many of us too, we have miracles in our lives. Things happen and you just say, wow, thank you, Lord. And it wasn't me. It was the mercy of God. We see it happen. So we know that even though we are not where we should be, we are on the way and on the process there. Amen? Amen. He must have had these extraordinary things. Hello, somebody. Why do you think his mother said to the people that in the Feast of Cana of Galilee, his mother said, what have you told you to do? She would have had experience before that when Jesus says, it's going to rain today, make sure you carry your umbrella. I'm just giving that thing. I mean, that's a mundane thing, you know. Or, you know, today there's going to be fair weather. And the weather turns fair. Even though, you know, it might look like rain in the morning, by the time Jesus says it's not going to rain, you can take it to the bank. And it happens consistently. I'll just give you an example. He could say it could be anything. You know, he might, you know, say, don't go there today because such and such may happen. It's going to happen. And it comes to pass. After doing that for 30 years, then it now comes to the kind of guy, yes, well, you guys, whenever he tells you, just do it. Because there's a she's not saying it explicitly. But what she says, I have experience with this, my son. When he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. When he tells you to do something, you do it, you'll get the result. Just do whatever he tells you. The result will come. I want him to bring, give them wine. And I know he's going to do it. Amen. She must have had prayer experience. Ah, praise the Lord. So all this happened until one day the heavens were open and he was baptized, and the anointing, the full measure of the anointing was given him. This is my beloved son, of whom I am well pleased. So, up to this time, he had been doing the regular things, just like you and I, mundane daily things, some difficult things, but now he had things. He could now do things that hitherto were impossible by the power of the Spirit. He could now feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Oh boy. Folks, you know all these things we're going to do, shall we? All these things we are going to do there. Some of us here will do them. I'm telling you the truth. Walking on water. Feeding the 4,000. Hello, somebody. There's one that always blows my mind. One about paying taxes with a fish. How do you know it's not natural for fish to eat metal? How many metal eating fish have you seen before? Fish looking for a gold coin. Oh boy. The scope of the impossible things that God will do in us and through us. Everything is open. You want to pay your taxes? You know, it's like saying, for example, today, maybe fish is not fish. Yeah, maybe you are in a farm or so. I don't know. I'm just trying to speculate. Maybe you're in a farm or something. You want to pay your taxes. Go and tell somebody. Say, well, go on. The first cow that you see there, like our president on his farm, come for taxes. You just say, okay. The first cow you see there, open it up, and inside with enough money in naira and kobo to pay everything you want. Or you send to somebody, like say you go to Coscaris. I don't even know what Coscaris is. Where they sell BMW in Lagos. Say, go and bring that donkey for me. Two of them. Brand new. Whenever man drive, whenever man sat in. You know, all the aura is still there. Tear rubber. And you go and tell Coscaris, say, the Lord has need. And he will come. You guys, you can't even imagine. You see, our imagination is so stilted. That's what he's talking about. It's the same thing. Different era. We don't ride donkeys anymore. But we sure ride BMW. Hello, somebody. The Lord tell Coscaris, the Lord had need of 2 750 IL long wheelbase. Bring them. And the guy says, yes, sir. Carry go. You guys, you don't know. You are going to do things like that that will amaze you. And they will, hey, come on, it's really happening. Even in our midst. But it says, God will give men for your life. Amen. I've seen it happen. Oh. I've seen it happen. I'm not as liberty to say, but I've seen it happen. When somebody will buy and skip a car for you. Oh, man, where are you? You don't know. You haven't met the person before. You have never met the person. The person takes money out of his own pocket, and he buys you a car and says, it's yours. Just take it. But, and it is not Beetle. Now, that's doing the impossible. Give the Lord a clap for him, somebody. I know you like that one. But that's it. That's the equivalent of what's going on. Bible, Jesus said we're going to do the miracles he did, and even greater. I cannot even begin to fathom what that is. But whatever it is, Lord, I'm game. Oh, I will do everything you want me to do, so I'll be part of that thing. That's the attitude we need to have. That's what we're preaching. So, the Lord has showed me, I believe, that the Lord showed me that it has always been his purpose for man to have no limitation as to what he could accomplish with him. Hello, somebody. Genesis chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 26 says, God made man in his image and in his likeness. God made man to be his representative in all of creation. So, what God was able to do, man over time was going to be able to do too. And guess what? He actually started doing it. Hello, somebody. Genesis 1 to 6. Let us make man. Let him have dominion. Give me that scripture. Yeah, this is it. Thank you. You're way ahead of me. God bless you. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. That word is still being fulfilled as we speak today. Domain. Now, like I said, we have dominion over some things. The daily things, yes, but so even some difficult things you have, but the impossible things, things that hitherto were thought impossible, nobody has had dominion. Now, you've seen one or two people who have broached that into that realm. But to say we have dominion over the impossible, not yet. But that's where God has taken us. And over the fish of the sea, over the fire, over this and over everything on the earth. You tell us somebody. God made the earth for man to rule. I got news for you folks. The earth is just a laboratory. You see, when we talk things like this, the whole place goes silent. Pastor Boyega, planet Earth is a laboratory for teaching man how to exercise dominion like God. And Earth is not going to completely be removed until man learns to have dominion. That's what this whole thing is about. The manifestation of the sons of God. That's what's going to show God that we've learned how to exercise dominion. That's where God is doing. He can take all of us. So God's purpose has always been from the beginning for man to have dominion over his creation, just like God has dominion over all his creation, and to fellowship with God on an equal basis. That's why it says you are joint heirs with Christ. If you can believe it, receive it. Now, I know it doesn't look like that right now, but you are. And God doesn't change his word. What we have to do is to grow up and to apprehend his word. Amen? That's what we got to do. So what do we see? We see immediately God said that let them have dominion. We see Adam naming all the animals. And he named everyone. He did not repeat a single name. Well, Lord have mercy. And by the time you get to the number 10, if you wonder, oh, King of Saul, the first one, what was it? What did he name the first one? Ah, the first one, okay, oh. He didn't write it down, though. He didn't write it. He was coming to him on a completely unbiased, unhindered access between him and the Father. The line was so clear. Everything was just coming tick-tack, tick-tack, tack-tack. We're going back there. Oh, they're going to see signs and wonders. The Bible talks about the fullness of the mind of Christ. They're going to see. They'll be astounded. The world is going to... What they are seeing now, I see one or two places where, you know, these things have come about to be. I was even something in the paper the other day about some guy, I think it was Pastor Alex, said he solved a 30-year-old math problem. I said, that's small potatoes. What Christians with the full measure of Christ, in the full measure of the mind of Christ, are going to do this day will make that look like kids' play. They're going to create things that never to existed. Like after that, Newton created, calculus from nothing. Out of smoke, out of nothing. How? Downloaded. God just gives you flashes of these things, snippets in time. Show you this is what you're supposed to be. So Adam reigned over all of God's creation. We see Abraham and Sarah bringing forth the child at 100 years old. Now, I don't know how many 100-year-old people you have seen here. I mean, she was 90, he was 100. The Bible says that, says Abraham's body and says when he was dead. Says, but he believed in hope, against hope, that he who had promised was able to do what he has promised. That's where we want to talk about that towards the end. Faith. And God brought forth a baby out of a 90-year-old womb. Amazing. Hello, somebody. I don't know if somebody means that's a word for somebody. Doesn't matter how old your womb is, doesn't matter how old your body is, God is still able. He's a God of the impossible. You can do all things in Christ through God who strengthens you. Amen. But it says God gave Sarah strength to conceive at 90 years old. Oh Lord, we see Joseph. Joseph is a marvel to me, as far as I'm concerned. There's a guy who was in prison for years. And in one night, he went from being a prisoner to prime minister. Talk about impossible. I mean, if you knew Joseph in prison, I mean, I'm sure you'll die in prison. That would never have thought anything like that could happen to you. I'm sure Joseph himself never thought anything like that could happen. But God was working through him, was strengthening him, was giving him the skills, the things he would do, have to do in order to run the Egyptian economy. And in one night, talk about it suddenly. Bible says God is the God of suddenly. In one night he went from being a prisoner to be a prime minister, and God gave him a nice, fine wife too. Hello, somebody. Things like that. Just like that. And when God puts Jara for you, he's a good Jara. What am I saying? Impossible things. Things that in the natural human thinking, the natural purveyor, human mind would never be possible. Amen. Moses. I like Moses' own. Moses' own. No, that's before Moses. See, Samson. I remember Samson. Now, Samson's a bit of a parody, but I mean, he didn't end up so well. But God still had mercy. Well, see, Samson, one of the greatest things I have in my mind concerning Samson is that he took the whole gate. I'm doing taking different aspects of impossible things. This is impossibility in strength. He took off the gates of an entire city. Not only did he take the gate, the metal they used for the gate, he also took the post on both sides. He ripped it up. Now, Samson was not a giant. He was a regular fellow like you. Maybe he wasn't as tall as Pastor Wally or, you know, as big and fast as I am. But he was a regular fellow, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he ordinarily didn't have that much strength. But when the thing came upon him, like when the Spirit came upon him, I will come upon you too. Amen. You're going to do the exploits that you never believe you can. He took an entire city gate. Now this is not, you know, one single gate that you open and shut. It is a big, huge gate. And also the post that the gate was cemented in. In other words, he left that gate without any protection. And then he said, no, he just take it off. He just take it off and throw it aside. He carried it up a hill so that they will not be able to bring it back down. So they won't be able to bring it back down. Well, so I just got, he said, got up at night, just uprooted the gate, everything done, carried it uphill. How about Elijah, who had run a racehorse, who had run a chariot? They were ordinary people, like you. Pastor, okay, can you run a chariot? And, thank you. I'm lucky. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's where I'm going, Pastor K. Pastor Wally, that's where I'm going. So God has always given us this. He's given us a whole panoply. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. The Bible says in verse 33, it says, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained. How many people have subdued kingdoms here? Let me rephrase that. How many people are going to subdue kingdoms here? That's it. Now you got it. Now you got it. Those things are written for your example. We will subdue kingdoms. We are going to subdue all these ISIS guys. We're just waiting. You will see what's going to happen. They will bow. They will bow because some people know their God and they do exploits and they can do all things in God. Through Christ's anointing, the fullness of the anointing that strengthens them. They have not seen anything like it. I'm saying this to ginger us up. Amen? Amen? Says they obtain promise. They stop the mouth of lions. That's Daniel. But so they quench the raging fire. The Hebrew children, the three Hebrews, say, we are not careful looking. These are guys who are under the Old Testament. They didn't even have the earnest of the Spirit. Okay, they came upon them from outside, but it was not something carried in with them. And yet God was able to do all these things through them. Hello, somebody. Apostle Paul is also, his vision is amazing. This is a guy who was killed, he got up again and went straight back into the city. He says, of the Jews I received stripes 49 times, except for once. You know, stoned, left for dead, perils in the deep, perils of brethren, perils. The guy was in peril, but he kept on. He refused. That's why he wrote what he wrote. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not just talking about when he doesn't have money. Talk about everything. His whole life was Christ strengthening him to do the impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. So all these are written as examples for us in this end time, help, you know, so we can remove forever the words "I can't" and "I'm not perfect." As a Christian, you can't say "can't," but you must say "I can't." Say "I can't do it yet, but I will in future." That's the correct mindset. You don't say you cannot do it ever, but you can't. You may not be able to do it now, but in a while you'll be able to. That is the truth. As you come to that bold anointing, you find that more and more of these seemingly quote unquote difficult and impossible things, you just sail through them. Amen? Amen. Why? Because God says you can do all things through Christ, His anointing that strengthens you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so why is all this important? Let's begin to round up. Why is all this important? Why do you have to know that we are able in God to do all things? I think I mentioned it earlier. God Himself wants to do all things through us in order to demonstrate His majesty, His wisdom, His dominion, His power. Let the eyes of all the earth see. Bible says that, you know, when the glory of God comes, the whole all flesh shall see it together. He's not talking about shining. Oh, Lord have mercy. He's not talking about shining. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, it says that to this intent that unto the principalities and powers. Those principalities and powers are not the people in your local government. It's talking about the heavenly, the satanic messages. Thank you. That unto the principalities and powers where? In heavenly places. Might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's you and I. You're the church. So it's you that's going to demonstrate the principalities and powers. In heaven, not the one down here. Not the local government, not the authority. He's talking about the satanic princes that have been there for decades, for years, like someone over at the nation of Persia. We're going to dislodge that guy. Oh, Lord have mercy. Nobody picked that up. You and I, and those who God gives power to, the mandate to, because it's not, we can't be everywhere. God gives you a mandate, your own allotted portion. But supposing God said, go to Iraq and dislodge that principality called the Prince of Persia. Who will go? Because you're not going your own strength. You're going in the strength of the Lord, the anointing, the full measure. But you're not going to go. We're not going to go until that full measure comes. God, you won't even try it. Because those guys are wicked. And it's only the full measure of the anointing that can overcome them. But we will overcome them. Amen? The Bible says, this is what Pastor Wally gave me many months ago, and I remember it again. He says, as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, or the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9. Now, Pastor Wally said something like that, and I'm sure he remembers it, because he's smiling. You smiled, didn't you? He said, how does the water cover the sea? And he said, do you know how deep the sea is? He says that the knowledge of God, and by extrapolation, the glory of God, all these things we're talking about, these doing, all things. He said that knowledge will fill the whole earth like the waters cover the sea. How many people know that the sea is extremely deep? And that there's a lot of water in the oceans of the earth. In fact, 80% or so of the whole earth is water. So what does that mean to me? What does that mean to you and I? What that means is that that there's going to be such a mighty manifestation, a demonstration of the power of God to do the impossible things. The things that men have said cannot be done or will not be done. Because nobody has ever, even the things we can't even think about. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those that love Him. Things that are going to happen, and the whole say, ha! And it's not going to happen once, and then it's going to happen every single day. They're going to see it like the Lord Jesus. Bible says, help me, Lord. The miracles the Lord Jesus did, said, if you want to write them, all the earth will not be enough to write everything down. All the books on earth will not be enough to write the things down. And that's one Jesus. Now imagine millions of Jesuses. It's going to be deep. It's going to be high. It's going to be wide. That's what the glory is. That's what's coming, folks. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. They that know their God. And Isaiah 59 verse 18, 19. Give me that. I love this phrase. Isaiah 59, 18. Oh, this is good. According to thy deed, their deeds accordingly will he repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Islands is not, small. It's talking about the continents of the world. Next verse is where I'm really going. Next verse. And so that they shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard. Who's that spirit of the Lord? That's a spirit working upon you and I. That's a spirit without measure operating to raise up a standard against the flood of the enemy that comes in. And he says something. He says they will fear the name of the Lord from the west. It's amazing how precise the Bible is. The West has a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, somebody. The West is the Caucasia, Europe and all these areas, have been populated by Christianity for years. So they will know the name of the Lord. But they will fear that name because they will see him afresh in you. They will see that name as they have never seen before. But in the East, which is where we are going to spend most of our time evangelizing. Hallelujah. Hello, somebody. Now it talks about the daughters of the East in his country. In the East, where they have not heard much about God, where all these gods and godless gods exist today, is the glory that will make them be afraid. God is just that glory. The manifestation of the sons of God. Hello, somebody. So when God says go to Iraq, or go to China, or go to, I don't know, all those eastern countries. They have their own gods there. And they've been there for centuries. Their own gods are there. But God is going to take over completely through us. Amen? So they lift up, the Lord will lift up a standard and a spirit through us against them. Now, let's begin to close. So, the point is that God wants to make himself known to this world in a spectacular fashion. With signs and wonders, he wants to arrest the attention of men. And so, close out this age with glory. Now, why? I asked her, I said, God, why is it so important to close out the age? Why is it? He said, because this is just the beginning. It's just a practice. I said it earlier. I said, the earth is just a lab. Because, you see, the earth, the earth is one planet in a billion galaxies. And God said, there's nothing that is created or made that he did in vain. Said, but he created it to be inhabited. In Isaiah something, I don't remember where it is. Says he has made it to be inhabited. So if it is not inhabited, it is still vain. So somebody gotta go there to that planet in Andromeda. They map the whole of the space that they've seen so far into portions. Andromeda King called 56 or whatever they call it. I don't know. Somebody gotta go there. That means, let's even keep it to our own solar system. Jupiter. All Jupiter is a ball of gas. There's not even anything firm that you can stand on. Forget Jupiter. Even Mars. They're trying to go to Mars now, small size. It's going to take them 11 years to get. 11 years. It takes 3 years in space. Can you imagine being traveling for 3 years and not getting to where you're going? They're trying to do what we are going to do by the flesh. They started this company, came up, said, look, anybody who wants to go and be a pioneer on Mars, it's a one-way journey. Your ticket only takes you 1 week. Pay $700 million or something, like 20, 30 million, for the express purpose of going to die in space. Forgive me, Father. It's not unbelief. But, they're trying to do what God wants his saints to do. What God has earmarked the saints to do. They want to send a spaceship to Mars. An expedition to Mars. And all that will happen is that they will get there. They will establish a colony there. They can never come back. So they're going to be there trying to survive until the next plane comes. Which will be years or not at all. Now, you got to be suicidal to stand up for something like that. Apparently, a lot of suicidal people in the world today who are too rich to be, they're too rich for their own good. They pay them, and it's millions of dollars. People are falling over themselves to pay millions of dollars to go and die on Mars.
instead of waiting for the anointing. And then you go by Philip transportation. Hit Mars, hit Jupiter. If God wants you to go to Uranus, you go. No big deal. No big deal. But what am I saying? God wants to close out this age because this is just a demonstration. It's an experimental lab. What the work is really out there in the ages to come to populate the planets and the solar systems that he has created and which are still expanding on every front since the word that God said, let there be. So that the whole of creation, everything will give praise to God. That's why he's training us. So you rule, you know, when we think in terms of things, and in God says it's okay. When the Bible talks about, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant, have 10 cities. It could be cities, it could be nations, it could be planets, it could be galaxies. Depending on which order of doing the impossible you are on. I hope I'm inspiring somebody. But folks, let me tell you, that's why don't be earthbound. Earth is not the place. The place is out there in the ages to come, in the galaxies. Somebody's going to have to subdue Jupiter. Somebody's going to make Uranus habitable for men. And then go there and get him populated. He's got to be God. You've got to be in the same image and likeness of God. And you two will say, let there be light, and there will be light. Let the heavens be separated from the earth, and it will separate. Why do you think God put that thing there? Somebody's going to fulfill it in another planet. Hello, we are going to fulfill it in other planets. Receive if you can. That's why God is warning. Say, look, this is just the beginning. God wants to close out this age. This is just the beginning. And shut the mouths of all these foolish people who don't even know who God is. Amen? So, but there's just one snag. All this has to be done through men. Bible says God has given the earth to men. It says the heavens are his. He has given it to his. So a people like the second Adam must now arise that will declare his might, that will believe without doubting that they can do all things through the power of God. QED. Hello, somebody. That nothing shall be impossible. It reminds me of John. Where John, when the Lord Jesus went to raise up Lazarus. Yes, I said. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, I know my brother would not have died. You would have raised him up again. He says, I am the resurrection of life. Said, yeah, I know. You know, yeah, no, say your brother will live again. I said, of course I know. You've talked us down. I know all that. You went at the resurrection, you know, you will be raised up. He said, No. He says, I am now present. Tense. I am now the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I asked Martha, I said, do you believe? Believest thou this? Notice when Jesus was talking, he wasn't talking as God. Folks, we need to get our thinking caps on. He wasn't talking as God on the earth. He was talking as a man anointed by the full anointing of the Holy Spirit. I am the resurrection and the life. Hello, somebody. When you get that anointing too, you too have the power of resurrection. You too have the power to give life as you will. Now, you give me a certain measure. I'm talking about the one that will lift people up from 4 days. By this time, it's thinking. And you say, Lazarus, come forth. We had one or two people. First, I remember Smith Wigglesworth. He did that. So there were 14 people raised from the dead. And I'm sure many of them have been dead because some of them were in their coffins already. Just goes to show you that God, he's given us an example. He's shown us it can be done. The promise, we don't believe. You believe in Jesus' name. Says, believest thou this? Believest thou this? Believest thou that we are destined to do all things through the Christ anointing that strengthens us? Hello, somebody. You know something? The devil believes it even though you might not. Satan believes it too. That's why he's fighting this thing. Because once it breaks out, the game is over. It's over. So question, how do we go about doing all this? Help me, Lord. We're going to close in a few minutes, 10 minutes. Help me, Lord. How do we go about doing that? I hope you're all getting something out of this. It's an exhortation. Folks, we are greater than what we think we are. in God. Not in ourselves. Never in yourself. But in God. What God has made us in Him is far greater than any one of us can begin to fathom or imagine. We must believe that. We must get to a point where we say in ourselves that I may not be able to do it in my own self, but with God, all things are possible to me. With God and me, nothing is impossible. We need to have that mindset and keep it there. Don't let it shift. Amen? How do we go about doing all these things we've been talking about? We do all things in Christ by grace and through faith. That's how Paul does it. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. This is the same Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Look what he says. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are what you are. But by the grace of God also, you're going to be what He wants you to be. Amen? It says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. So grace can be bestowed in vain. It will not be in vain in your own life in Jesus' name. Amen? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Now check this out. This is where I'm going. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So what it means is that Paul labored. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, but as he was laboring, grace was also laboring with him. That's what I was able to do. That is the grace of God added to his labor that made him what he is and will make us what God wants us to be. Grace is extremely important. Grace, my pastor told me, I said, hello, remember this is a year of great grace for mighty works. Amen. That grace is being downloaded on you and I as I speak. Hello, someone. Great grace for mighty works. We've been seeing them already. We'll talk about that as we close. But the essence is that the whole spectrum of what we're able to accomplish in Christ is dependent upon the magnitude of the grace. Where there's a mundane, you still need grace. Where there's a difficult, you need grace. If it's impossible, you need even greater grace. So everything is a function of the magnitude, the measure of the grace that we receive. Amen? That's why it says we should grow in grace. It says grow in grace. Because as you grow in grace, you grow in the things that you're able to accomplish. Apostle Peter grew in grace. The Lord Jesus Christ says you grew in wisdom and stature, finding favor, grace. He grew in all those things to be able to do all that he did and become what he was. So grace is very important. But the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says grace is given to... So, to get great grace and to grow in grace, you must have great humility and grow increasingly in humility. That's where it begins for humbling us. You know, we're going to come back to this humility. There's no way we can overcome humility. We can overemphasize humility. It's not possible. The Lord Jesus gave us the example in Philippians chapter 2. And he got a name that every knee bows to. That's the name that God has made available to us. Guess what? You are also going to have to humble yourself. You also have to die on the cross. Now, we don't have a physical cross. Our cross is crucifying the flesh with all the affections and lusts. For the Lord, flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. That says, mortify your members. All the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, which he defeated on the cross, you too must defeat it. For us to get into the power of that name, by the grace of God, that will enable us to do all these wonderful things. Both the mundane, the difficult, and the impossible things. Amen. And just like Jesus submitted to the Father, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. It's what I see the Father do. There's a message God has given me, you know, about that. Talk about seeing the Father. So I don't know when I'll be preaching. You know? Everything. Hello, somebody. The anointing was not Jesus' anointing. Hello? What happened when God, when he was anointed with that spirit, without measure? He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the anointing came upon him. So it was the anointing, the spirit without measure came upon the Lord Jesus, just like it's going to come upon you and I when we please the Father. And the Bible says you cannot say you love God or please God if you do not first of all love the Father that you can see. And please the Father that you can. Guess what? The anointing always comes from the head. It doesn't come to you directly. Hello? Psalms 133 says that the anointing upon the head is always upon the head first. It is always upon the father's first. It talks about Aaron's beard, talking about spiritual maturity. It's a grown man that has a beard. A young man cannot have a beard. That's why instructors don't get the anointing first. I'll get to that. Maybe God will be preaching sometime. I don't know. Folks, you're not going to get it if you don't submit to him. There's a power that comes from his anointing that gives strength to do all things. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. His might. Hello? So what happens? We tap into this power by humility, by obedience and submission to spiritual oversight. We please oversight, we please the Father. We don't please oversight, we don't please the Father. But there will come a time when in that walking, that pleasing God through pleasing spiritual oversight. I remember when I first of all got born again. I said, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. Oh, let me serve you. Oh, God, let me serve you. Oh. I said, well, serve you. All right, fine, no problem. See those two guys? See, that man and his preaching. Then it was in, school. British International School. I was full of fervor. I'm still full of fervor in Jesus' name. Father God, I want to serve you. Oh, please let me serve you. So I got to church that day. So, God is so gracious. So you see that man preaching? And that's his wife sitting over there. Say, so whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. He'll be serving me. I was 1986. I'm still here. That's how it goes, folks. You're not going to get it if you're not under the Father's. To God be the glory. Amen. So, what do we do? How do we do it? So we start off with the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment. And then we grow to perfection and fullness to inherit the full measure that enables us to do all things. Everybody starts the same place. Even though Jesus had the earnest first, then he too grew up until God could trust him with the fullness of it. And it's going to be exactly the same for us, all of us. Amen? And so we do it, things first of all, by grace through humbling ourselves. Amen? Then we now do it also by faith. Hello, somebody. And I think I've given an example of the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's a sample of those who did use faith to do great things. God didn't just put that there for decoration. It's for us to look at and receive instruction and follow after the example. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that believeth God, cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Then he goes on to outline all those pantheons of faith that did all those great things. Amen. And I saw something here about faith that Lord, I didn't know until I, you know, began to do it. God opened my eyes to see it. Give me what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. You see, God doesn't use words like we do. Matthew 17, 20, please. Thank you. And Jesus said unto them, you know, the apostles were trying to cast out a devil. And they couldn't do it. And so they asked, well, why did we not cast? I said, it's because of your unbelief. No faith. Or not enough faith. Now, I know all of us had faith. Hello. The Bible says in Romans that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But you got to increase in what your faith can do. Now, that faith is not increased, but what you can do with that faith should increase over time. Now, so why do I say that? Because to some people, after a period of time, Bible says, by reason of time, you ought to be. I'm giving you a kernel, a key, as to why some people seem not to be progressing as they should. So by reason of time, you ought to be. That measure of faith is supposed to get more and more for you. You're supposed to be able to do more and more with it for God over a period of time. But if you don't exercise yourself in faith as you ought, we'll talk about that in a minute, you'll find out that instead of your faith growing and begin to expand and begin to apprehend more and more and more of what God wants you to do, it doesn't do so. So to some people, even though you have faith, really to God you're in unbelief. As though you didn't have any faith at all. Because that person's faith has not risen to the level it ought to be for the time that he has been in Christ. And that's why I've said many people in the church. First, for by reason of time you ought to be. And you are not. That means as far as God is concerned, you're not in belief. You're not in faith. You're in unbelief. That will not be our portion. That's what happened to these guys here. Now, are you telling me they didn't have faith in Christ? No. They just didn't have it to the level they ought to have, having been walking with Christ to the extent that they ought to have. And they were arguing, of course, which of course is a faith killer. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for I say unto you, now this is where I'm going. If you have faith as a grain, it doesn't need much. As a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you, because you have a grain of faith. And to back it up, God said exactly the same thing. The Lord Jesus said exactly the same thing in another place. Give me Mark chapter 11, 22, 23, which is what we're most familiar with. Different instances. But he repeats the same message. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, which is what we're talking about. Verily I say unto you that whoso, same words, different occasions. This was when he cursed the fig tree. And the next morning they came by, he was dried up. And I was I said, you don't have faith. If you had faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. That's the problem. Believest thou this, that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What are you saying? I can't. I can do all things through Christ. What mountain is there that can stand before that grain of faith? Nothing. The problem is, we don't believe as we should. I didn't say we don't believe at all, but I say by reason of time. And I'm speaking to myself also too. And it's exactly what happens. This is what's said. Now, Jesus doesn't joke with words. He said it once, he said it twice. It's confirmed. Two or three witnesses, every word is established. All you need is a grain of faith to be able to move mountains and do impossible things. Hello, somebody. Well, I tell, I don't know where's the mountain. I don't have mountains in Nigeria. Speak to Everest, move over there. Don't do that, I'm not calling an earthquake. Boy, you know, he's using a metaphor. He's saying that nothing can resist what you do with an attitude of correct faith, the correct attitude of faith. If it's a mountain, it will move. You don't need a lot of faith. All you need is to speak the word and believe in your heart that it's going to come to pass. It shall surely come to pass. But we don't believe. That's why we're not seeing. That's why the mountain isn't moving. Or it's moving, I thought it's just oscillating on the same place. Not enough faith. Unbelief. Hallelujah. Same thing the children of Israel did. They saw the miracles and every miracles will never give you faith. Pastor keeps saying that. But they could not enter the rest that God had promised them, the promised land, because of unbelief. Kept them out of the promised land. The Bible says in Psalms 106, 20, it says, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. Do you believe his word? Do you believe the word we brought today? Only believe, and then you shall see. We will all see in Jesus' name. See these great works we're going to do. Amen. So, the overwhelming majority, I read it, the overwhelming majority of Christians today do not believe God's word as they should. Or we wouldn't be in this situation in the church. If everyone was firing on full cylinders of faith, the church would have, closed out this age a long time ago. Hello, somebody. It's the truth. We all pay lip service to faith. Yes. And you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word and, you know, it's true. Faith does come by hearing the word. But you know that it says the same Bible that says faith comes by hearing the word says faith without works is dead. Which means that you can hear and hear. Oh, shakarabukonka. Give me James chapter 2. Help me, Lord. Gotta close this out soon. Where it says, no, James chapter 2, where it says, not the hearers, but the doers are blessed. Chapter 1. Thank you. 1:22. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. James 1:22. Let me look in my Bible. I know I've marked it in my Bible over and over again. Okay, alright. Yeah, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. The person that hears the word, hears the word, hears the word, hears the word, has a head full of knowledge. Pastor sent us, the pastors, you know, an email this morning about one devotion talking about, you know, revelation knowledge. How people, they hear so much of the word, but it doesn't translate to revelation knowledge. And the reason is very simple. Because you cannot have revelation except you work it out. Revelation comes by working out what you hear in the word. Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You continue to hear the word, you hear the word. Most Christians have a head full of word and knowledge. But the revelation is lacking because they don't exercise themselves in the word. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 11 says, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do. If you have it in your mouth, your heart, you will do. But if all you have is in your head and you don't do it, it's of no use. Mercy, Lord. Faith without works is dead. Most Christians have a head full of scripture, but much of it does not translate to their feet. So, it's good to hear the word, but it's very much better to be a doer of the word. Amen. For example, we'll give you an example. For the word of God we just brought today concerning this issue of doing all things, being able to do all things. I can do all things through Christ. Or the word of the fullness of Christ. We hear it and we believe it. We exercise faith in the word, using the blood, the word, and the spirit. We release the power. That's why it has to be your mouth also. Release the power that enables us to do the things, that release the spirit, the power of the spirit to enable us to become doers of what we've heard. And as we do this, we keep doing until what we see in ourselves aligns with what God has said in his word. We don't stop until that happens. So when God says that, you know, he's going to work out his work in you, and he's going to demonstrate the manifold unto principalities and powers, until you do that, you don't stop. When he says that you're going to do mighty works greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, that's mind-boggling. It's a mind-boggling circumstance. When you think about the miracles of Jesus, and you're going to do greater, you almost want to balk with unbelief, but God said it. So you keep on doing it. Keep on applying the blood. Keep on applying the word. Keep on applying the power of the spirit. Keep on praying until what you have, what you are, what you become, aligns with what God says you are in him. Don't stop until that happens. Amen. And even after that happens, don't stop anyway. Because it's a dynamic. Because you get the fullness of measure of Christ. If Christ stopped praying and doing all what he did, oh, he kept on doing the same thing. It's a lifestyle. I told somebody once, I said, look, even if I don't get that fullness of Christ, I will get it. I'm not in doubt. But even if it doesn't come, I'll still live this way. Amen. Because it's a profitable way to live. There's peace. There's joy. There's the abundance of the blessing. I'm not talking about physical, but I'm talking about inside. The Bible talks about, say, whosoever cometh will I give a white stone and a new name written therein that no man knoweth save him that receiveth it. If you haven't got that stone yet, go get it. That's what's going to hold you in times of difficulty. That's what's going to keep you going until you get to a place where you begin to do impossible things. That white stone with a new name written on it. Oh my goodness. Righteousness inside. Glory to God. A revelation of God's righteousness inside of you, and it transforms you from within until you become like Christ inside and outside. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Amen. So as we continue, we grow in grace, we grow in faith, and gradually we move from doing the mundane daily things, the Bible reading, the Bible study, thank God for them, communion, prayer, all these things, to doing the difficult things, standing in the time of the tribulation, trials and tempting. Amen. Now made easier by increasing grace and mercy as you grow in grace, until we cut to the point where we do the impossible things, miracles, signs and wonders and healings. Amen. That's our portion. That's what God, and it's already happening. Hello, somebody. It's already happening. Hello, somebody. I mean, when somebody can pray and download double digit millions in one day, and you know that something's happening. That's an impossibility. Double digit millions. You build a world class facility without borrowing money. It's impossible. Except with God.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You don't have money, you build the house that's not even for you. Just build and give it out. The money is not there, but when you start, there's nothing. But as you're building, God supplies. And He keeps supplying. And He keeps supplying. And then one day the house is finished. And you don't keep it for yourself, you give it out. Things suddenly thought impossible now are possible. Or you build an estate, you don't borrow money. It's not supposed to be possible. But nevertheless, at thy word, believest thou this? That's how God does it. Impossible things. Even in our nation, Nigeria. Hello, somebody. If someone had told me 2 years ago that the incumbent would submit, I would acquiesce, and would capitulate in an election in this land, in Niger, in my own lifetime, when I'm 58 years old, it hasn't happened. Not once. That they will go and congratulate the guy who won, and you move your seat, and you remove yourself from the chair. They didn't come and remove you. And you remove yourself from the chair for someone else to sit down. You want sukuro ko joko? Oh, did they turn? Of eleven. In this our country, I said things hitherto. Mommy used to prophesy that thing. Remember when we used to pray in those days in Ondo? Mommy said things hitherto thought impossible will begin to happen, and they're coming to pass. Hello, somebody. In this our Bodo, Nigeria. And it's going to accelerate and increase. Because God has a people. And Daniel is in the land. Forget about it. The one that blows my mind, personally, is Obama. I lived in America for four years. And if somebody told me that a black man would be in the White House for 2 terms, I would have said, if I even when they told me it was going to happen, I said it's impossible. But you know, we learn to submit to the word of God. You know, if you do that too, it'll help you too. You will not believe everything that you say initially. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you submit to the Father, the same anointing upon them will come upon you and it will change your heart. And you'll begin to walk in the same way and the same align what they say. Amen? Amen. You don't resist what they say. You take it. I can't see it yet, though. I can't receive it yet, but I believe whether I see it or not. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's what I did. Because, I mean, it was and even to today, they're having problems with race. Even today, somebody shot 9 people the other day. Obama said the race problem is still there. Racism is still, embedded in. Somebody said Obama's going to be president. I said, hey, are you sure? We were praying in the ancestors, and the word came. I said, word to God. But how many people know that God has a plan? And he's showing that he is well able to do exceeding abundantly above. And so we started to pray. Right here. 2 terms. One, the first time, I couldn't believe it. I cried like, wow, in my lifetime. A black man. The second one was even better. I said, wow, this is great. That, for me, that just, those 2 things just sealed it for me. There's nothing God cannot do. If you haven't seen it, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Just mean that you are not at that level yet. When you get there, you will see. Only believe, and you shall see. That's it, folks. So we already have signs. We already have the 3. We see it already. You know, we need to expand our mind and trust God. That what God has said He will do, He will do. And so God will kind of find in us a people who choose to believe. That they can do all things through Christ, the anointing, the full measure anointing that gives strength and gives them power to do exploits for God. And this is only just the beginning. So folks, I bring a word. Come out of mundaneness. Come out of things that are difficult. And begin to look out for the things that are impossible. God is about to break loose on you. God is about to break loose on I. With anointing without measure that can help us. That we will do, by which we will do all things through Christ that strengthens us in Jesus' name. Amen. I speak to the Lord. We're going to take a little time today, but I trust we'll be able to bring this word out as a word in season. Amen. I remember We need to speak to God and let the organ be played. I remember there was a particular ad, and this is interesting because I find it so interesting. The first day I saw it, I said, wow, this is amazing. These are human, natural human beings. There was an ad, I think it was for Pirelli tires, says, impossible is nothing. That was the payline of the ad. And I thought, I said, wow, that's really good. I mean, for a natural human being to say impossible is, I mean, I knew it was, you know, it was an advert payline, but it struck me. I said, wow, we should be the ones saying that. Under God, impossible should be nothing. Because he's not a man to lie. He's not the son of man to repent. What he has said he will do, we will do. The Bible says he does not alter the thing that is going out of his mouth. He has the power, he has the ability, he has the wisdom. And if we lack wisdom in anything, we ask him. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom how to do this, ask. He will give us without our breath. The problem is we don't believe and we don't ask. But that will end today. Every spirit of unbelief will cast out in Jesus' name. Impossible becomes nothing. There's another one I remember. Emerson says, impossible, consider it solved. Impossible, consider it solved. I like that. Those are natural men thinking. May the Lord give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Talk to God. Ask God for grace, faith, humility, wisdom to do all things through his strength. Not in your own strength, not in your own power, but in the power that comes from God only. Be strong in the power of his might to do exploits for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The choir is going to have to help me with this song. My voice is good in Jesus' name. I have made you too small. We have made you too small in our eyes. Oh Lord, please forgive us. And we have believed in a lie that you are unable to help us. But now, oh Lord, we see our wrong. Hear our heart and show yourself strong. Give me a Father, we thank you. Let's raise the hand up unto the Lord, hand up upon our heart, and let's pray after me. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight that come to remind me that, Lord, in you and in your strength, I have the power to do all things. For it is, Lord, your word that said unto me, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that is upon the Lord Jesus Christ that is available in this season, and the great grace for great works you're releasing upon your church. So, Heavenly Father, I come to align my will with your will. I choose to believe, and Lord, with you all things are possible. I choose, Lord God, no more to walk in unbelief, but rather, Lord, by your grace through faith, to apprehend the abundance of the power that is available in the anointing upon the Lord Jesus, starting first with the earnest, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, to grow up into Christ in all things, so that like the Lord Jesus, you will fill me with the power of the Spirit and cause me to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. I understand this as being my destiny and my portion as the first of the first fruits from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. So, Heavenly Father, I humble myself to spiritual oversight, the word that comes through them, knowing that as I do so, the anointing upon them will flow unto me first as the borrowed anointing. Then I will also inherit the full measure, and like Christ, go on to do all things, to do greater things, and the miracles of Christ in this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because by me and through me, you work mighty wonders in the earth. I will come to know you, Lord God, and I'll do exploits in your matchless name, by the word, the blood, and the power of the Spirit without measure. In Jesus' name. Amen. Fama mino molo sare ma kamba de bankaro ba kakalo ramba de bentalo molo kora katangali ramba de molo sare ma pali ma sare ma la karuanga ramba sare mo rembele mo sekelo ma rembele sare no ba kabi amaleko rembele sare ma ya kamba la rembele balas ko kakalo ma la ramba de sendo lo ma ya bala kande rembele mo san sare mo magere ramba de sare ma rembele Kasaka pompale makaka reze bara korose deme rembeleka rembele kala nosheri rembele asako rembele selano makaseka no mire soko kala ma mire besusa pompala kakara rembele bilikabare. Father, in the name of Jesus, under the authority of my Father, I come as one having authority. Under the covering of the fathers, I come against every spirit of unbelief in this house. Every spirit that refuses to believe, every spirit that refuses to mix the word of God with faith, I bind you. I cast you out. I destroy your works in the midst of the saints of God tonight. In the name of Jesus, I minister the spirit of faith to go forth, to occupy their hearts, so that, Lord, they will believe unto the saving of their soul. They will believe unto the doing of great exploits unto God in this day. In the name of Jesus, believe, and so you will see the salvation of the Lord. In Jesus' name.